something every week. Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? Back on the same side of the pond. Back in the States. True American Red Devil.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, bro. Happy Thanksgiving. Land in SFO at 7:30. The game is on. Stuck in customs. Not a lot of action to report of during the game, sir. Was there any more action when you watched it live?
Absolutely not. poor performance from United. More of the same from this side. I don't know if it's too much fronting for the gram or if it's the tactics. Hard to say. A lot of fingers to point. These boys can't beat Crystal Palace at home. Roy Hodgson, tactical genius, mate.
He had our number, bro. Can't get up for a game. Can't get up for a game at home. Dude, we could have lost by a couple of goals in this game, to be fair. Crystal Palace had some chances, and we didn't take ours. So there's not a lot of really strong positives to pull from this performance.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here?
It was Meltdown City on Twitter, on the fan cams. Everyone just wants to light this place on fire. I would suggest it's already a dumpster fire, so nothing needs to be lit on fire. But lots to break down here. Of course, we're talking about Manchester United 0, Crystal Palace 0. The boys coming back from international break. We had a home game, easy as you like. 16th place Crystal Palace, fighting relegation. And we just come out and lay an egg. Lineup, Dave stays in net, Darmian at right back, of all places. Smalling, Lindelof, and Ashley Young. Lingard, Matic, Pogba in the midfield, Mata, Lukaku, and Martial. What'd you make of that starting lineup, sir?
Huh. Well, sir, I didn't see it until I landed, but I was a little confused by the lineup. I mean, the Darmian start, I assumed was because of injury, but we just bought a new right back that's supposed to be the future, and we're playing Palace, so I don't understand why you don't give him a knock. But I think this is kind of Mourinho's loyalty to the old guard, even though I'm not sure Darmian counts as old guard, but he's loyal to certain players. And then Matic getting another start. I think Matic was like due for a drop. Would like to see Fred. And then I was a little curious in the Lingard Mata start. You know, it's like, it seems like you have two of the same player. Would like to see a Rashford or someone with some pace, but I don't know. What were your thoughts? I had some issues with this lineup.
I didn't think too much. It's Crystal Palace, right? You could put out the second team and beat them, right? You should be able to wipe the floor with these chumps. But apparently even our best, Paul Pogba, Lukaku.
We got
World Cup winners in the lineup, sir, and we're not coming out.
What do you make of Pogba's performance, sir? You think he put in a good one?
I mean, if he's not gonna play well for us and help us win, who is, right? At this point, I'm looking at Lingard, Mata, Martial. I mean, the streak's coming to an end here. That line, I mean, this is a bad team for the £1 billion that we spent. I mean, looking at that back four, Ashley Young's washed up. Lindelof probably should be a backup. Smalling, I'm thinking along the same lines, but he's probably our best. And then you got Darmian, those sideburns. What's going on there? Just not good enough. Not good enough in any way, shape, or form to wear that jersey, in my opinion. So that's really what I thought of the lineup there.
Yeah, but you know, lineups, you know, Fergie did with some pretty abysmal lineups, but this lineup's got to be good enough to do it at home, right? The boys should be up for a game at home after the international break. I didn't think enthusiasm would be an issue, but jumping into the first half, I mean, we did start okay. First 10 minutes, I rewatched the game today, started okay, sir, but we certainly lost any kind of momentum, and my finger's pointing at Pogba, dude. It's like he was not running around. He was just like, it looked completely indifferent to the game. And I know it's like a little bit of conserving energy, but I think everyone's looking at Pogba, right? He's probably the most important player on the pitch. So when he's walking at home, I think, I don't know if that sets the bad tone, but that's the first thing I noticed, sir, watching the game today.
Way too casual once we got settled in. I mean, there was kind of a flurry in the first couple of minutes there that looked encouraging. I think Matic tried to get a ball in behind for Martial. Again, if it bounces our way, things could go different here, but the game plan, we're sitting off Crystal Palace and we're allowing them to get in behind. They're dangerous. I mean, and in the 22nd minute, you know, great chance for Zaha. United of old, one of Fergie's last signings. He hits the post from outside the box. He looked dangerous. Eye for goal. Would love to see him in a United shirt. We need that type of player. Someone who's aggressive and hungry, who just wants to go after the goal. We do not have that. Martial's the closest thing we have, but Zaha would be a great complement to our attacking three.
He would be, and he's young, and he plays on the right, plays on the left. He can play up front. You know, he's not the finished article, kind of like our Martial or Rashford, but at the same time, he was on our team. We did buy him from Palace years ago, right? Like you said, it was Fergie's last signing. Dude, you want to know everything wrong with this team? Everything wrong with this club? It's not Mourinho. It's like we sold Zaha for £3 million without a buyback clause. And then, you know, that tells you everything you know about the club after buying him for $25 million like 2 years earlier. So if you're going to do that
business.
With bad business, bro, with a young player, he didn't have some kind of horrific injury. They just like... I mean, apparently he shagged the manager's daughter was the rumor, but who knows? He got sold by Van Gaal.
Where'd you hear that?
That was the Moyes rumor, but he got sold by Van Gaal anyway. But like, the club should not be allowing that to happen. This is a long-term prospect. You keep him around because he's young. He's got a lot of potential. And if you get rid of him, yeah. Certainly get a buyback clause. But £3 million, dude, I mean, he didn't have the best game in the world, but still, it's like he'd be a useful player to have in United. He could play on the right wing over Mata.
Yeah, some other players add to that list. You have Memphis. We have a buyback on Memphis. Di Maria, pretty sure we don't have a buyback on him. Those are two players that came through United. Like Zaha, did not look good at United, and the Moyes and the Van Gaals of the world and the Mourinhos ditched him. So there you have it. Looking dangerous at home. Former United players always do. 44th minute, goal disallowed. Milovic drills a free kick to the back post towards Kouyaté. It comes off either Lindelof or the shoulder of Kouyaté. Didn't matter because ended up in the net. But luckily for United, it was a pretty close call, and the flag was up. It was offsides. I think we got lucky with that call. What do you think?
I think we got lucky with that call. I mean, I think that should have been a goal, and I think Lukaku was onside. I think his arm was only off, and there's two schools of thought. But I think it should have been 1-1. But we definitely got lucky, sir, because they had some good chances in the second half as well, and they could have put us away. But definitely luck on our side a little bit at the end of the half.
So going into half, I think I tweeted out, United making a meal of Crystal Palace at home in the first half. And I didn't even want to watch the second half because I kind of knew what was coming. Because if you have an international break, and we've come back from international break looking like two different teams. Sometimes we come back, we look hot. Sometimes we come back and we look worse. And this start in this match against this opposition, we need that early goal. And if we don't get that early goal in like 25th minute, it just drags on and on and on. Then on come the subs, etc. So I kind of knew what to expect. Mourinho's probably yelling at them, but whatever he's doing just not working. So we have been the team of the second half, but I just didn't feel like things were going to change this game. What about you?
Well, you're right, sir. I mean... No, there is an element of like come back after the international break. Are we going to start come back hot? Are we going to come back cold? There was nothing in this that maybe thought we were going to come back in the second half. They were just better than us, and we just had no intensity. And even when we had the ball, we weren't really doing much with it. We were super super loose with the ball, gave it away a ton. And I think we needed like one more attacking player. We needed one more player with speed because having Shaw out, dude, Young looked so terrible at left back. You know, couldn't put a ball in all day, and it really takes away the effectiveness of Martial. Martial probably had his worst game of the season, so missing him was huge. And then, like, our wingbacks were just completely non-existent. At the same time, you have a midfield that really wasn't doing much. Matic looks like he needs to get dropped, and Pogba looks like he couldn't give a fuck. So the combination of that two isn't really a great combination for trying to win a game, sir. So I think I felt the same way, dude. I was like, I don't think we're going to get this game. I think we can easily lose it.
You know what we say? Mo money, mo pog limbs.
That's a new one. I like that one.
That's a new one.
Certainly recently, all right. Sir.
Second half, let's jump right in. 56th minute, I mean, some brilliance from United. The ball falls to Ashley Young just outside the box. He drills it goalwards. Hennessy parries it to Lukaku, taps it home. You know, we think we're going to steal something here. Offside, flag goes up. And everything is right with the universe. Crystal Palace had their goal, called offside, and we had ours. Both close calls, but I think this was offside from Lukaku.
I think they were close. I think they were both close. I think if you're going to call Kouyaté offside, you call this offside. So I think whatever's fair is fair, but Definitely would have been good for Lukaku to get a goal. He needs it. He needs the confidence.
And 59th minute, Mourinho throw the baby out with the bathwater. Plan B, Fellaini and Rashford are on, replacing Mata and Lingard.
Missed the fro.
I know.
I hate it. He looked so weird without a fro.
He looks like a shady bro with no fro.
I know he does.
He kind of looks like you want like a more personal gentleman. He just kind of
very huggable with that light fro. It was so warming. It's scary.
Either way, the no fro isn't going good for his game because it didn't look too good when he came on. And Lingard, I think he had a lot of energy, and hooking him. I didn't really get that from Mourinho. How'd you feel about Lingard coming off? I thought he was one of our better players.
I thought he played all right. I don't think he was great, but I do know what you mean. Like when he was in open space, he does have energy and like a high work rate. That's good. I think Mata definitely yanked him, but I would have.
What about Matic?
No, that's what I was saying. Yeah. I would yank Matic and Mata because Matic looked average, gave the ball away a bunch. And dude, you could almost you wouldn't blame him for pulling Pogba right there because Pogba was not good. Really, I think this is one of his worst performances ever at United. He was just like, he looked like he didn't give a shit.
I can think of a few. 62nd minute, amazing double save from De Gea. You know, we would be amazed if he didn't do this every single game. Again, keeping us in the game, keeping the clean sheet, Dave saves, unreal stuff from Spanish Dave. And we'll get to this a little later, but the press... it's sorry to see these headlines about De Gea in the press, kind of heavy on the heart.
Sayonara, pal, dude. He's gone, bro. No way. He's gone.
I called it last pod. 66th minute, sub Sanchez on for Pogba. Sanchez, you make $500,000 a week. Come on. Show us what you got.
So what do you got? What do you got, buddy?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, this just shows the shambles that we're in. We just have people making so much money off the club and not being effective for the team. So something's got to give here. 74th minute, things were kind of going back and forth. United were desperate, and we were exposed on the counter. Palace should be ahead. Townsend had an amazing run. Dupes, Modric, and Lindelof. I think he flicked it around them or kind of pinballed around, but ends up with the ball, one-on-one with the keeper, and just chumps it wide. Can't believe it. Again, looking to the football gods here that we're still tied 0-0 because Townsend definitely should put him ahead.
That's why he plays for Crystal Palace, bro.
That is why.
Club. I mean, he would that be a bigger club by now, right? He was like, he's a name with a lot of attention that was attracted to it many years ago, and not so much anymore, but he should have buried this and made the most of it and like put United down because he had every chance to.
Yeah, you got to open the hips and do the left foot curl.
There you go, bro. Teach him how.
Come on. Yeah, I've got to show him my FIFA skills. All right, 83rd minute. Good chance from Lukaku from a corner. The cross isn't the best, but the Belgian makes the most of it. He gets up well and heads towards the bottom corner into the ground, but Hennessy tips it away. Great effort from Lukaku. Again, this save, I think, looked better than it was. I think Lukaku didn't get a lot of power on it. Hennessy obviously made the diving save. Half a chance for United there, I would say. What do you think?
I mean, I think he made the most of it. It was not a great cross, but that's like more like it. He was fighting for the ball, gets the ball on net, challenges the goalkeeper. I think near side might have been better for him, but this game didn't have much in it as it relates to United. So this is one of the bigger chances at the end.
Didn't we look better with Sanchez up front?
We looked better without Pogba, bro. I thought we created a lot more in the last 30 minutes after we yanked Pogba.
I mean, I'm talking about the whole game. Like, if you just focus in on number nine and you look at Lukaku, the first half, he was literally a ghost. In the second half, he didn't do much. And I'm not seeing any link up play, hold up. I'm not seeing any, you know, take a man on, beat a man, have a shot. All I see is the cleanup tap in. And then maybe a header from a set piece from him. So whatever he's doing, he's not making the runs. He's not linking up. He just is MIA. And having a striker like Lukaku be MIA is tough because he's a target man. He's supposed to be the opposite of MIA, right? And I'd much rather see some more movement from the front three because Lukaku is just not having it this year.
Well, I think people have wised up, right? It's just hoof ball up to Lukaku. And if there's no other element to the game, right? If your wingbacks cannot get a Akrossin than like the man who's dangerous in the air that scores 27 goals last year and was very dangerous in the air is not going to do much, right? Because all they did was just try to hit it up to him and hope he would like pull it down and then send it out wide. But I think it's a little unfair to be tough on Lukaku. Should have scored probably, but
he is
plenty of
like
blame to
out
go
of
around,
form.
Bro.
He is out of form.
His link
he
of
is,
play at the beginning of the game was actually pretty good. Martial was crap in this game, bro. Martial has been great, so I can't really blame.
Okay, Martial has been great for the last couple of games. Lukaku's been shit all year, dude. He's had a bad year. He has not played well for United, and he is our main number nine, right? And this is a position that like a Martial can come hot, a Rashford can come hot, but the number nine day in, day out has to be on for United, you know, just like Zlatan.
He does, especially if you're not willing to drop him, right? If you're not willing to put it in Sanchez up front or Rashford up front, you definitely can't be cold all season because he hasn't had a great start to the season, and now it's beyond start. He hasn't had a great season thus far. But he's still a good player. He's still got a lot of talent, and I think there's plenty of blame to go around this team in terms of underperformance. But I agree. It's like he needs something to change, and I think the whole team needs to play better. He is just a symptom of it. He's not a cause.
I think that's fair. That's a fair statement, but still, I was defending him. But seeing that game, I can't defend him anymore. I think he's just having in poor form this year. 90th minute, we had one last chance. Rashford had an effort. Hennessy again, off the mark, and that's it. 0-0, Manchester United, Crystal Palace dropped 2 points. Terrible performance from the boys. I'm the first one to say it. I think I've been Mourinho out for a couple days now, maybe a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, and Mourinho's just got to go because at the end of the day, the buck stops with him. I do think the board is going to make a meal of it, and they won't get rid of him probably till we're completely out of top four, which I think is too late. But the boys, our team on the pitch, is just not working right now.
Sir, I think, I'm basically there. But we're at a point where, like, this team is going to find out real quick. All the fans are going to see. It's not going to be Mourinho. This is not a Mourinho issue. We're going to go to our fourth coach. We're going to have a lot of the same issues. We got a lot of overpaid older players that we need to get the hell out of the club. And we just don't seem to know what the hell we're doing, sir. So I am a foot into the Mourinho out camp, but it's not going to happen until the spring, right? Because it's not going to happen until we're mathematically guaranteed to miss out on the top four. I'm telling you.
I don't know about that.
It's a contract drop, bro. We'll see, bro.
What
game's going to be. We're going to be battling Fulham, bro, for like top 10.
for all our listeners out there,
Fulham's at the bottom of the table right now, bro. They have 8 points and they're in 20th place.
Yeah, so the bet that me and Alex have currently is that we're going to the Fulham match in February away, seeing with the away support. And Alex said he would buy me dinner if Mourinho is fired before February. And I said I will buy him dinner if he isn't. And this Crystal Palace game, I think that dinner just got a little closer to being paid for by yourself.
Another course, sir? Another course? Add desserts now? I think the fact that it's the beginning of February, not the end of February, might help me out, sir. It might be like a little bit later before they're statistically guaranteed to miss out on the top four.
There's a lot of games in December, and we are not playing well against Crystal Palace at home. I mean, we're gonna advance in the Champions League, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, we need a new coach. Even if it's just get rid of Mourinho and let Carrick do a job, we might get something more out of this team. But there's something that we lack, like a spark, like desire, motivation, whatever it is, why we start games so terrible. And all these players, why are they playing so bad? It's got to be the manager. But let's jump into the stats here. In the Crystal Palace game, United 60% of the ball to Palace's 40%. Shots on target, United 5 to Palace 2. So on the score sheet.
Damning, sir. 5 shots at home. That's
on target.
Enough.
I mean, it's not terrible, but, you know, it could have been a lot better. This was United's first Premier League clean sheet of the season.
first home clean sheet of the season.
if there is a silver lining, we have a clean sheet. And I did start De Gea on my fantasy team, so I did not miss out. Palace had 13 shots in this match, their most in any away Premier League game this season. That is the stat that fans should be focused on. Why is Crystal Palace asking more questions of Manchester United at Old Trafford than any other team in the EPL so far? That is scary.
And they should have scored more than one, dude. They should have put two passes, and that shows that they're not a very good team. But you know what? We're not playing like a very good team these days anyway. But you got to take the chances you get, dude, because don't matter what kind of chances you get if you don't score goals. And anyway, United are unbeaten in their last 21 league games, meeting with Crystal Palace. Whoop-de-doo, we didn't lose. We've won 17, and we've drawn 4. But Palace have picked up a first point in a league game at Old Trafford since winning 2-1 in December of 1989, sir. It's been a minute. 1989, almost 30 years.
Wow, I think I was 4 years old. And this was United's 65th 0-0 draw in 26 seasons of the Premier League. 31% of them have come in the 6 seasons since Sir Alex Ferguson retired. Tell me about it. That is terrible. Fergie, make a comeback. Please.
Didn't remember a lot of 0-0 draws under Fergie.
United
LVG,
failed to,
I did.
Yeah. United failed to score in a top flight home meeting with Crystal Palace for the first time since October 1970. There's a lot of firsts here on the negative side for Manchester United, but let's put that game behind us. That was as painful to recap as it was to watch, but let's look at the table. City is running away with it. 35 points plus 35 goal differential.
Jesus.
Liverpool 33, Spurs 30, Chelsea 28, Spurs manhandled Chelsea. For me, that's a vote for Pochettino coming in. So we have the top four rounding out at 28 points, Arsenal 27, Everton 22, Manchester United in seventh at 21 points. We are 7 points off top four. And I don't think Chelsea are as good as they were made out to be in the beginning of the year. So it's good to see a chink in their armor. Again, if we don't sort out our business, that doesn't matter, sir.
Don't matter, sir. I like what you just said, and I totally agree with it. Chelsea are not as good as Liverpool and City, but unfortunately, we're just not playing very well. And we should have beat Chelsea, and goddamn it, we should have beat Palace, and we should have beat West Ham, and we should have beat Brighton, but like...
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, doesn't matter
because we had 21 points and we're at a -1 goal differential. -1 as Manchester United. This goes beyond signing defenders, bro. We just need to score goals and keep the first clean sheet at home coming, bro. We need more of those.
That's the worst goal differential at this point, I think, in 40 years. So if that's a wake-up call, I mean, it's like the alarm bells are ringing here. And that's why we're going to jump into our next segment. It's called the United Meltdown Breakdown. So everyone on the Twitterverse, the pundits, the fan cams, screaming, shouting, cursing, United terrible, United this, United that, you know, and let's see where we are. In this season, the 18-19 campaign under Jose Mourinho, in 13 games, we have 21 points, right? That is our worst start points-wise in the post-Ferguson era, right? So since Sir Alex left, at this point, we have not been worse off. And I think this is a lot because there's a lot of people still backing Mourinho, a lot of Mourinho out. And when you put that into perspective, you know, we're in year 6 since Fergie left, and we're worse than we have ever been. I think that is the red flag. That is why Mourinho's got to go, and sooner rather than later. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think if you look at our team versus the league, we're probably the worst we've ever been. I think the team, the bones of the team are much better than they were in 13-14. I think like the team Moyes inherited was not a great team. I think he had a lot of older aging players. He didn't do great in the transfer market, which is on him. He gutted the backroom staff, which is on him. But I do think this team, like if you get the right coach in and the mentality changes, there's a lot of good players on this team that weren't there 4 or 5 years ago. That being said, dude, the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie. Right?
Yeah,
worst start ever since Fergie's left, and we look like absolute chaos. Looks like there's no strategy at all, no kind of methodology to how we play anymore. I don't know, dude. It's like, that's why I've really got a foot into Mourinho out. It's because you got your star player who doesn't want to play for you, and that's very obvious. It's like profoundly obvious that Pogba will not play for Mourinho. He'll just like, that's why he's walking, bro. It's like he ain't walking when he plays for France. You know,
That's a two-way street in my opinion, because I like when you said we bring another manager, our problems aren't going to be solved. And I do think that it is a two-way street somewhat between Pogba and Mourinho, because, I mean, you know, it's stop being so sensitive. Just go out there and play for United, right? You know, United was a club that gave him everything, and obviously Sir Alex being a huge part of that, sending him to Juve. It's play for the club, not the manager. Be a professional. And that's kind of feedback all around. But like you said, let's look at the Moyes season. So I compared 13 games in every season since Fergie left. And the 13-14, Moyes came in, you said, gutted the backroom staff. 13 games in, he has 22 points, and we're in eighth place. Right now we have 21, we're in seventh. Moyes went as low as ninth, and that was the game week 14, and we finished seventh. So that was a pretty mediocre season, and Moyes got the axe, right?
Yep.
Finishing seventh, he got the axe. He was better than we are today. Better on goal differential, better on goals conceded than we are today. Worse off in league position. So Moyes got the sack at the end of the year, and that was his first year in charge. So you have to think, you have to give the manager some time. You go to LVG 14-15, LVG 13 games in, 22 points. Same as Moyes, but we were fourth in the league. Now, what does that say about the league, right?
A lot of ties. There are a lot of ties in that run. Remember that?
Yeah. And what's crazy about LVG with the 22 points, he finished fourth, right? We qualified for Champions League. And he did that, but it took 10 games unbeaten, including 7 wins against big teams as well. So a period of 10 games, we went unbeaten that included 7 wins. And so, rough start, but he got the engine humming and he finished fourth place, right? Secured his job for the next season. And I think that shows you it can be done. But I don't think at 13 games in LVG his first season, we were playing as poorly as we were under Mourinho. It seemed like he was implementing a game plan and we weren't scoring goals. At least that's what I remember.
I mean, I remember a lot of ugly football. I remember his football game arguably worse. You know, it was a lot of long balls and a lot of possession for possession's sake. You know, we weren't letting up the amount of goals that we were. Now, part of that probably is because the league's gotten better. Part of that is probably because our defense has gotten worse. But we certainly had the same kind of challenges creating opportunities and scoring goals. But I don't disagree. I mean,
10 games unbeaten, that's our best run of form. That's our best run of form since post-Fergie was under LVG. And most people could not recall that, right?
If you think he finished fourth.
That's a great season. It's 22.
Great season. Finished fourth is a great season.
If we finish fourth from where we are now and we're 1 point off that, I would say that's a great result. I mean,
Mourinho finished second last season, and I don't think most pundits would consider that a great season for United. No one gave him credit for it, really. I think we did.
Having a shit start and then patching it together and then finishing in the top four. I would say that if you told United fans right now that if we finished in the top four after getting 21 points, they would say that'd be a great result for where we are now.
Well, so the 15-16 season is more indicative of how LVG played, right? You start hot and then you fall apart.
Yeah. So 15-16, 27 points, 13 games in, and in second place, but we finished fifth, choked on the Champions League, won the FA Cup, and then LVG gets fired. So you compare Mourinho to these three seasons under these managers that got sacked, and he's obviously worse off. And then you look at 16-17, Mourinho's first season, he did even worse. He had 20 points in sixth position after 13 games, right? So Mourinho holds the title for the worst starts.
The worst start. He started how he finished, but he did win two pieces of silverware that year, which is a non-trivial thing. Europa League and the EFL, so
debatable. I mean, it's not the silverware you want to be. This club is associated with. It's like, no, it's yeah, not, it's nice to have, but it's
not.
It's
not the. It's not the community shield, bro. You know,
you're gonna sell your soul, sell the soul of the club for those two trophies, and then
sir, we've sold then, the like, soul. The soul. This club has been sold years ago, bro. When we got bought out through 90% debt to an American backer, the soul was sold.
And then 17-18, Mourinho, 28 points. That's our best since Sir Alex. Obviously, we were second place at the time, and we finished second. And like you said, a lot of people were salty about that. So if you look at United post-Fergie, it's really been mediocre out of the gate with Moyes and LVG, similar to where we are now, improving under LVG's second season as far as starting goes. Mourinho comes in. We re-hit the reset. Then he does really well, and then now it's Mourinho third season syndrome, right? because now we're playing like shit. And I actually think we could finish worse than we ever have since the Fergie era. And most of that I'm going to put on Mourinho. But a quick little, just so we can remember the Fergie days, I put in the 12-13 season. 13 games in, Sir Alex had 30 points, and we were in first place. And we won. So
sounds about right.
Easy as you like. And what's amazing is City had 35 points. So that 12-13 team would be second place right now. Actually, we'd be tied for third with Spurs right now if that was Sir Alex's team. That's crazy.
Yikes. Yikes.
So
that
I do
team
think
was good.
The meltdown is a combination of United kind of up and down. You know, we're kind of just in a band, in a narrow band, just kind of firing managers, getting better, getting worse, buying new players, getting rid of them, and we're just kind of never improving while you're starting to see City improve, Liverpool improve, and the league kind of change. The amount of points you need, the amount of games you need to win, improve. So not only are we not getting better, but I think our peers are actually driving greater success.
They are. Dude, the league is getting more competitive, and we as a club have no coherent strategy manager to manager. And effectively, that's the issue, bro. It's not the fact that you brought in a Moyes or an LVG or a Jose Mourinho. It's the fact that you allow them to dictate what all the football operations are while they're manager. Because what that means is Moyes brings in Moyes players, LVG brings in LVG players, Mourinho does the same. So we don't have any good players that were like bought young for under the previous managers that now are like studs. You know, Martial, you could say,
Shaw.
Under Van Gaal. Shaw, right? That's a good one. But like LVG bought a bunch of duds that were either whacked or sent off by Mourinho. Same with Moyes, right? We should have kept around fucking
Mata is not a bad
Zaha. Mata and Fellaini, but Zaha was signed by Fergie right before he left. There's no business selling Zaha. And you can say the same about Memphis. You can say about a bunch of other players. But at the end of the day, I think that's what we're hurting from the most is like you spent huge amounts of money and lost huge amounts of money on players that we only bought a couple years ago. And you can't do that at a club. Buying high profile players, breaking your record.
Yeah, but
and
City has bad business too, right? City has made bad deals too, right? We're not the only club. I want to isolate the variables.
But they've bought a lot more people than we have, bro. They bought a lot
exactly.
more players
so they can make
for
more
lower
issues.
Yeah, they can. So if they buy 10 players for every 5 we buy, and half of theirs go bad and half of ours go bad, then they still have 5, and we got 2 if we're lucky, 3, you know, 3 if we're really lucky. So they've just, I think they've been more effective in terms of buying and having a consistent strategy, regardless of who their coach is. They tend to buy young players and not older, more established players.
They've bought some dogs too. So I mean, you're gonna say every team if you look at the variables in the equation, right? It's like, you know, what is the cause of this dumpster fire? Why is United in the position we are in? And, you know, I draw a lot of parallels, unfortunately, with U.S. soccer at the moment, because why is U.S. soccer this, I mean, organization has tons of money, huge resources, giant population, loves soccer, loves athletics, and we can't put a team on the field that's worth, in my opinion, our medal, what we could, our best, right? And United is the biggest club in the world, largest commercial operations, worth the most, making the most money year over year. And again, we can't put a team on the field that can compete with the Barcelonas, the Real Madrids, and unfortunately, the Manchester Cities of the world right now. And why is that? It's got to be, some people want to blame the owner. I mean, the ownership, right? City has a billionaire owner. Chelsea has a billionaire owner. The Glazers are American. They obviously love money. They bought the club to make money. But they completed the buyout in 2005. Since 2005, they won 5 titles, 4 league cups, 1 FA Cup, 1 Champions League, and 1 Europa League, which you love so much. They spent around £1 billion, and that's only around $200 million behind City in the same period. City under their ownership, so everyone wants to say they're terrible, right? Which I don't know if I can really blame the Glazers. I know I don't like the Glazers, but is there anything they've done to handicap this team? Is it the manager hires that have been wrong? I mean, it seems they spend money.
Dude, they made Ed Woodward in charge of footballing operations. Number one thing they've done wrong right there. That's what they've done wrong. That's why they're to blame. They put someone who's in charge of signing sponsorship deals to run the football club, and that is why we have suffered and continue to suffer. So, yes, it is their fault, because you should appoint a footballing director who is removed from the commercial aspect of the club, because those are two different things. One is about making money, bringing money in, signing sponsors, and one is about fielding the best team possible and winning games. And I think when you have one body, one individual who's in charge of both, you're gonna have issues. And that's the cupo noodle issue we have at the moment, bro. It's like you have the wrong guy running this team.
So City, everyone wants to say that their ownership is incredible, right? And right now they're playing well. So let's remember that this is, you know, form is temporary, class is permanent. City before Pep Guardiola, spending all the big bucks, they weren't that good. City, since they were bought out, they've won 3 titles, 1 FA Cup and 3 League Cups, no Champions League, and they spent the same amount. They spent like more money than we have, right? So everyone wants to say Man City can walk on water and that their footballing operations are great, but they haven't won that much, not nearly as much as, you know, the Glazer ownership has, and have invested more money, right? So who's coming out on top? Now, if you look at projected, I would agree with you that that's the case, but, you know, Ed Woodward, that's a quick fix, in my opinion, right? It's not something too crazy for the team, for the ownership to do, to put someone in charge of footballing operations, right?
Well, I think it's beyond that. It's you need to put the people in place, and you also need to support them financially and structurally to be successful, because they can. What they were going to end up doing is appointing some football manager with like limited power, ultimately reporting up to Ed Woodward, who's in charge of the money making business, and you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. And I'm sure what City did was say, hey, we want to make money. A lot of it corrupt, a lot of it dirty money, but we're going to make money. And at the same time, we're going to like set up an infrastructure to be successful on the football pitch. And whether that means spending a lot on transfers, investing in the youth academy, buying clubs around the world, they've done all of that. And I'm not saying it's all right and it's all the right moves, but I think.
And they broke financial fair play regulations to that. Well.
But they didn't have to. They didn't have to in order to put the right system in. They during the process to build up their club, yes, they broke financial fair play, just like I'm sure Chelsea have in circumstances.
And PSG. So, you know, like, it is a money thing, and I do agree with you, but the one thing that you can, and I'm not, I am Glazers out. I have green and gold, like, you know, but who else is going to own the club? And are they really the ones to blame for the way the team is playing right now? And I do think that they do share some of the blame, but a lot of it is on the managers they brought in and their transfer strategies and the fact that they had a hands-off approach, which they used under Sir Alex Ferguson, and it worked because he was the greatest manager of all time. So it's probably that this club and the infrastructure of this club was not set up for serial manager departures, right? And at the end of the day, the product on the field is Mourinho's problem, right? It's like, yeah, he might not have got a defender, but he has to make sure what he has shows up to play, you know, day in, day out, and he's not doing that. So that's why I think we need to cut bait with the manager. Additionally, the manager we have brought in, they kind of threw the United DNA out the window, the attack, attack, attack. I don't know why we brought in managers that weren't the style of the great history club that they were going to be working for.
Dude, they are no Busby. You know, it's like, I totally agree, and I think that is, Mourinho's going to take the fall, bro. He's going to take the chop. It's time for him to go. There's enough bad blood, bad juju. It's like, it makes the club look bad because all they do is criticize them and go after them beyond what we're doing on the pitch. So it's just like, it's time to go. Pogba won't play for him. That's obvious. It's time to go. That being said, we still have Ed Woodward and the board who, you're right, dude. It's like, if it wasn't for Fergie, we would have fallen up. Dude, this club might have come imploded on its debt if we weren't still winning like title after title after title under Fergie, because they were like, you can do whatever you want as long as we can keep the money rolling in and we don't have to spend too much money in the transfer window. Because actually back in those days, they weren't spending that much. They really weren't. And it's amazing how much they were able to win in like the 2006, 2011.
Dude, they did the Tevez deal. They brought Berbatov in. Obviously, they dealt Ronaldo. I mean, they bought Pogba. Lukaku.
I'm not talking about recently. I'm talking about the tail end of Fergie's years. Like, he wasn't getting that much money to spend, if you think about it. Like,
no, buying RVP
for £27 million was a big deal. That was a great transfer.
But you have to think about the bullets in the gun, dude. They bought Sanchez, too. Like, you have to think of the bullets that they're firing. Those are they're putting up dollars to get, they bought Sanchez last January, right? Because they want to run at the title. Like, they're, it's a lot of it is the players that they've bought have turned out to be dog shit. Like, Di Maria, we bought him. Pogba, we break the record. He doesn't come through. Lukaku, we break the record. Then this year he's off. It's like Sanchez, we just empty the bank to get him, beat City to him, spend more money than City would. And then Sanchez is just nothing. So, like, that's something to blame, too, the players, right?
You're definitely
paying. Are the players overpaid? Does Sanchez come and get a deal and he doesn't care? What? It's got to be the culture in the locker room has to be eroding because of all the money these players are making. Like, they're fronting for the gram. You know, Jose came out midweek and was mistranslated about saying the players are immature. I think they are, right? I don't think there's a leader in the locker room. Like, when we had Zlatan in there, everything seemed to gel a little bit. Zlatan kind of ran the show, and ever since he's left, Pogba's been in charge, and, you know, he can't handle that. Pogba is like, the locker room for me, you think Pogba and Sanchez and everyone is getting along in there? Like, nobody no. probably talks. It's probably
there's no leader.
Terrible
there's no
chemistry.
Leader. There's no, Rooney's gone, Zlatan's gone. Who's the big man in the room? Ashley Young? I mean, that's probably it. That's probably the only reason he wants to re-sign him. He can do a job defensively, can't put a ball forward, can't get a cross in, but he might be a personality in the locker room. That's what Jose needs at the moment. But, like, there is no strong spirit in the dressing room. If you're like, your leader is Paul Pogba, we're in trouble, bro. Because Paul Pogba is a great player, has potential to be one of the best players in the world. But you could tell he's, like, not a naturally born leader. I'm sorry. He's like a woe is me kind of guy. I think he only cares about himself, ultimately. And,
well, Zlatan came out. Do you hear what he said? He's like, Pogba's a strong person, but he needs to be guided. And I think Zlatan was doing a good job managing. You know, Zlatan is probably a good buffer between Mourinho and the players, and Mourinho probably needs some leaders in his team. You know, City, it's probably Pep is so hands-on that, you know, Pep kind of drives that versus, you know, an old United side with Keane, you know, or even like Ferdinand, you know, being the shepherd there. But we're missing that United captain in the locker room with all these young players, and they need to kind of get their shit together because they are looking around at each other and have no idea what to do, especially coming out and starting like this against Crystal Palace. Sir, plenty of blame to go around. I mean, we're just trying to break down in some rational sense why is this team playing so well, you know. And I'm going to place most of my blame at the manager and the players because that team gets paid a lot of money and they are not playing well. And I don't know how much you can blame the Glazers all you want. Maybe they paid Sanchez too much money. He doesn't want to play for them, but I mean, at the end of the day, that team has a pretty price tag, and they should be playing well. Someone like Pochettino might be able to get the best out of them. I mean, do you think that's even possible?
He might, but, you know, what happens if Pochettino comes in and he says, you know what, this player, I'm not going to point finger, I don't know who it is, this player is a real issue, guys. I need to get rid of him. We need to sell him. And the Glazers go, dude, he is so fucking marketable. What are you talking about? Make him work. I mean, what do you do in that situation? Whose fault is it? Is it the new coach's fault for not making it work, or is it the manager, the owner, who's thinking about value and resale value and marketability over, you know, winning on the football pitch? So I think there's an element of that too, sir.
Also, the X factor, in my opinion, is Mourinho isn't hungry. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need to win. In a game of spite with Mourinho, he almost would rather the team doesn't do well and leave because he knows he has his legacy and these players don't have anything. And he probably would thumb his nose at them out the door, right? Because Mourinho's not hungry, right? He's probably lazy. He's given up. These players suck.
I don't think he's lazy. I don't think he's ever been criticized for being lazy. I think he's been criticized more for being vindictive. And he might have lost a certain degree of hunger, but dude, I mean, he was
going through the motions. He doesn't
fight. He was throwing fighting words at, you know, the end of the transfer window, trying to motivate the board. He's trying to motivate his team. I think you do blame him. He is the manager, right? That team he put out. I think, why don't you put Fred, bro? Matic is like looking sluggish. Why don't you put Fred? So I'm not going to not blame Mourinho, but at the same time, it's like these players get paid a shit ton of money, sir. A shit ton of money. Paul Pogba can't be jogging around the pitch at 200K a week. You know, it's just not.
You really hate Pogba.
Dude, that game was, did you watch that fucking, that game was bad, bro. He should have gotten pulled at halftime. He was literally
I just can't do it, but that's on Pogba, dude. Pogba's not going to be
good. I know, but he's our star player.
What if Mourinho wanted to sell him and the board wouldn't? Then you blame the clip. Like, I think we should have dealt him to Barcelona for a world record 150. Why not?
Dude, 200.
I would, because to be honest, at the end of the day, like, De Gea doesn't want to play, get rid of him. Pablo doesn't want to play, get rid of him. You got to get rid of players that want to play for you because we're seeing what it looks like.
Because they don't play for you. They don't play for you, and then you look like shit. And you're like, no. And the problem is that shit is infectious. It is called skunking, and if one player does it, it rubs off into other players, bro. And that's
Pogba,
why,
like, Sanchez, like, dude, all this
Pogba,
stuff.
Pogba, Sanchez,
like, yeah,
Bailly, Martial. It's like Fergie was the man at that. He knew that because he talks about it. He's like, if you, one player starts turning, you got to get rid of him ASAP because all of a sudden it just, like, infects the whole dressing room. And what happened was they didn't dish Pogba, and all of a sudden the dressing room is skunked. Mourinho's lost it. You got to get rid of Mourinho. But, like, I still think these problems are going to rear their head even when we get rid of Mourinho.
Oh, well, this is where, you know, you think we're going to win the league, we say 2022, 2023. We have to redo the whole thing. That's like four years.
I mean, I'm giving us 4 years, bro.
I'm calling like 5 years before I even think about it, to be honest. Because if you look at this squad and the contracts are up this year, I mean, we are in a bad spot in every single category. Other than commercial revenue, we're in a bad spot as far as player contracts. We're in a bad spot as far as top talent heading out the door, De Gea being one of them. We're in a bad spot with manager out the door. We're going to get another manager in. We're in a bad spot. No director of football. We're in a bad spot with board not spending money. I mean, we have it all right now, and it's let's hope we can find someone who can be the next Sir Alex Ferguson and guide this ship to 21 times Man United.
Sir,
and
we
on
better,
that
bro.
Note,
we better, bro.
And on that note, that was our United meltdown breakdown, and we were melting down
live from the dumpster fire.
There you go. Trying to make some sense of this woe is me United side, but we have a game, and it is Tuesday. It is
a big game, sir. It's a big game.
Versus Manchester United versus Young Boys in the Champions League. You hear that music, sir?
Ooh. Music to my ears, especially recently, sir, after that beautiful victory in Turin. It is growing.
It soothes those wounds from the league play. That's right. We're taking on Crystal Palace. I mean, we're taking on Young Boys at home. Might as well be Crystal Palace.
Hopefully at get Old better Trafford, result than Palace.
Tuesday, November 27th at noon Pacific. So it'll be under the lights at Old Trafford. And if we win... And like I said, if we win, we are in the round of 16. Juventus is playing Valencia, so they could do us the favor and beat them, make it easier on us. But again, win and we are in. It's because of that big win at Juventus away where we pipped Ronaldo and his Italian friends for 3 points.
Sir. This is a game we cannot lose. We, like, cannot do it. Cannot do it to ourselves. We did the impossible of getting all 3 points at Juventus. But wouldn't it be, you know, true to form for us to just completely not show up and have Young Boys, like, nick a couple early goals?
Young Boys is bad. I mean, we
very bad. They're very
we
bad.
We played them away on turf, and, you know, we easily dispatched them. And I think we got to do the business here. If we lose to Young Boys, Mourinho's got to go. He's got to go, like, ASAP. Even though I think that he should be gone ASAP. If we lose this match or draw, that's it. Is he going to bench anyone big here, sir? I mean, we can go through the injuries. United basically have a full squad. Lindelof expected to be unavailable because he played. I mean, that was the most hard I've seen out of Lindelof. Playing with injured hammy. At the end of the game against Crystal Palace for the draw. So hats off to Lindelof there. But what do you think? Any big drops from Mourinho here after that abysmal performance at home?
I mean, he might drop Pogba. I'm not saying, I don't think he should, but he might. I think Pogba needs... I think he'll get up for a Champions League game more so than a league game.
I think he'll play him.
You think he'll play him? I think he'd drop him. I think he should drop Matic, put Fred in, and maybe with a Herrera as well. But... I think the biggest drop would be Pogba, but I think that would really be like shake the waves and not be for the greater good, if you will, bro. It'll make things worse if he drops Pogba.
He gave Pogba the armband and Pogba basically like spit on it, dude. Like that's how bad it is. Like if anyone wants an idea of how bad their relationship is,
just
watch that training ground video. As far as lineup, who do you have, sir? What do you think? Who's going to lead us to victory?
So a lot of, I think he might go with basically the same back four. You know, I think I didn't have my on the injury list, but Shaw was not available on the weekend, so I'm going to assume he's not available again. So I'm going to think De Gea, that lovely back four of Darmian, Smalling, obviously with Lindelof out. I think he's going to favor Jones over Bailly, and then Ashley, ragtag young, left back. And I think he's going to keep Matic in, even though I think he should drop him and have a midfield three of Pogba, Matic, Herrera, and a front of Martial, Lukaku, Sanchez.
Sanchez gets to start, earn that half Sanchez million start, keep. I'm gonna similar but a little different. Same but different. 4-3-3. Dave says if Luke Shaw's back and put in Shaw, Jones, Smalling, Young, that's a hysterical back four. Welcome to the comedy show there. Pogba, I'm gonna put Pogba, Fellaini, and Fred. I think you got to put Fellaini where Matic was. I think he's played well for us this season. You got to start him. And then Martial, Sanchez, and Rashford. I want to see that lightning quick pace up front. And, you know, get those guys, get Rashford a goal, get Sanchez a goal. Let's get some confidence here. Otherwise, I think these players like Sanchez, they might be headed for the door if they're not going to show up. Good news for United fans. Young boys are heavy underdogs.
Not favorites.
Heavy underdogs on the betting side. +1,068. If you bet young boys, you're going to get 10 extra money to win the tie, +489. So almost 5 extra money if you bet the tie. And then Manchester United -350. So we are heavily favored to move on in the Champions League. Critical for this club to show they can go deep. Unfortunately, the Grinch, Jose Mourinho, I don't know if he's going to get the best out of him to do so. What is your score prediction? You know, you heard the odds. I'm sure you're going to predict a Manchester United loss, right?
Tie seems more likely, sir. But I think the only reason we would tie is if Valencia beat Juventus. The universe is only that cruel that would be the only reason we would tie. But I'm going to call it a 3-1 victory for United. Clean sheet not to be. You know, those clean sheets are not very common these days. Yeah, how dare me? I'm looking at the pitch, bro. So I'm calling 3-1. I think we'll get a couple goals out of Alexis Sanchez.
I'm going to say 2-0, easy as you like. And just to give fans confidence in our predictions, we have predicted United would win pretty much every game this year, and it has not happened.
we'd be above City right now, sir.
I don't even know why we actually predict, because I don't think anyone's ever predicted a loss, maybe a tie, but maybe we're a little biased here at the American Red Devils podcast.
Just a little.
But hey, I'm excited for some football. I'm excited to, you know, the best thing you can do after a loss, show up with a win, a convincing win at that. And I think the players know that. Unfortunately, they've gotten a little too familiar with that, and we have to step up against young boys. And if we win, we qualify. I think there's going to be some good headlines. I'm sure Mourinho will come up. You know, it's getting close to Christmas, so the Grinch will come out. Mourinho will definitely shit on some United player in the press.
He'll find something to criticize the ref. Something. All right, we'll have our ears open.
United in the news. Big headlines. Sad headlines here. Transfer headlines. Players going away. That's right. Manchester United set to sell David De Gea next summer for £75 million. Juventus and PSG leading the race per the Sun. Reading that hurts. It really does hurt. And it kind of sums up where we are as a team. And we have this amazing player came into Manchester United under Sir Alex Ferguson. He tried to leave. Legendary fax machine shut him down. He was such a he was so gracious, came back to Old Trafford, fans give him a standing ovation, didn't miss a beat, and he stuck it out, signed a new deal with United, and I think if we were playing well, he wouldn't leave, and so we're not worthy of the best keeper in the world, unfortunately, and that, you know, that hits home, because all the great United teams had great keepers, and we had a great keeper, and we were not a great United team, right?
So we're not, and this brings a lot of pain to my heart, because I am a huge fan of David De Gea. He's done so much for this club, and mainly it hurts me because I have no ill will at all towards Dave, because you can't blame him, dude. We don't deserve him. I hate to say it. Like, this United team in fucking eighth, seventh place, wherever we are, does not deserve David De Gea. You know, he should go for a, not PSG, but Juventus, and go play for a team that's going to be fighting for the Champions League final, win the league, no problem, and not, you know, hoping to keep a draw against fucking Crystal Palace, bro. It's like no good. You got Chesney, exactly. Get Chesney World out. Class. You're back up to David De Gea, bro. Enjoy Milan.
Yeah, I know. We're going to be filtering through a few Chesneys now. But hey, Jordan Pickford might come in again. I don't see us turning around this ship anytime soon with the new manager. So, you know, greener pastures for De Gea make a lot of sense. His talent is not syncing up with where we are. And with heavy hearts, we will bid him farewell, unfortunately.
Feels like the most likely piece of news on this list, sir. The number one piece is probably likely to be true. David De Gea is probably saying goodbye.
Just to cheer you up, apparently we're going to sign Marco Arnautovic in January. This just makes me feel like we're even worse. We're going to sign
the West Ham Neymar, bro. The West Ham Neymar.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, he's not a bad player, but if you're looking at players to reinvigorate our attack, and could you imagine spending $50 million on Arnautovic? I mean, we spent $60 million, got Di Maria. A couple years later, we're spending $50 million to get Arnautovic. I mean, what is going on in the world?
And he's old, bro, and he's old.
Yeah, this is per the mail. I mean, say it ain't so. I think Jose is not going to make it till January. I think that'd be wise for the board to do so, not give Jose money. The only one that makes sense is our next article, United looking to break the record for an £89 million Napoli defender, Kalidou Koulibaly. And I say buy him up because we need defense. So any signing that we clearly need, the board can make, regardless if Mourinho's there or not, because next manager is going to need a defender. So I don't mind making a signing for a center back, but as far as an attacker, we don't need to spend money to get Arnautovic unless it's like a budget deal, like $15 million, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you, sir. Our immediate concern has got to be a center back. And this is the mold that I want, bro. It's like, we have enough projects. We have enough good youth, young players, 27 years old, 6'5" unit, bro, playing in Italy. He's like one of the best in the world. And I think he'd fit right into the Premier League. Look very good in red. Sign him up. Doesn't matter who the coach is, bro. You just need a unit of the defender that you can have around for 4 years. And, you know, maybe bring some ease to David De Gea's mind. A little less for him to do.
Absolutely. And our next article talking about Neymar being sold by PSG to fund the move for De Gea. I do think Neymar is going to move on from PSG. Again, in the era of the Instagram, front for the gram, all these all-stars, it's all about them. Neymar moved to Paris. It wasn't enough about him, so now he's doing the sad emoji and bouncing out of town in 2 years, which I think is hysterical. And Mbappe kind of giving him a run for his money. If there's any player I think Manchester
United sign him up.
Need to get, it is Mbappe. We will never get Mbappe. He will never come to our club, unfortunately. But these are the type of players we got to be in for. And with David De Gea leaving, I mean, this is a sign that recruitment is going to be hard. We're not in the Champions League, and we got players bouncing. Like, that is our best players. I'm good. I'm out of here. Now, try to convince some worldies to come in to play at Manchester United. So, Ed Woodward's job, or whoever's job is going to be, is getting a lot harder when you see that happening.
So the wage bill is certainly not going down anytime soon. That's what that means. It means we have to overpay for players to come play for us, because when you're seventh place, you know, you don't have the luster that we used to have.
And that's it for United in the news. So again, tough news, tough pod, tough game. But hey, there's always young boys at home. Fan questions. At @Kirsu_ManUnited, based on performances of today's top flight teams in the Premier League, do we realistically still have a chance for a top four spot this season? I mean, I hate to say this, but United look like a mid-table team. I am so fed up with this defensive football. Sounds like a Mourinho outer. Top four, LVG, Louis van Gaal's army did it. 22 points to top four. What do you think, sir? We got a chance?
So I think it's still possible, but it doesn't look realistic at the moment, because we are such the most inconsistent Manchester United team I've ever seen. Because when we play up, we actually do look very good. And there, you know, times last month I thought we looked very good.
We look good.
I thought we looked good at times against Chelsea, bro. It's like we're the most inconsistent team in football. I've never seen a team that plays up and down.
20 minutes. I've seen 20 minutes of good football.
Yeah, 20 minutes is better than 0 minutes. But all I'm saying is, like, it ain't gonna do it. The way we're currently approaching gameplay, we're not gonna end up in the top four because all the teams above us are playing better than us.
Nah.
Arsenal's playing better than us. Chelsea's playing better than us. We don't look great, and we have unless we change something dramatic, right? Whack Jose and make Carrick the guy. Or bring in someone in January, which I don't see as likely. I don't see us finishing the top four. So it means we got to win the Champions League.
I think we're getting worse.
So do I. Right.
I think if you could put on a chart, the Pog drama, right, with Mourinho, it's like, so goes Pogba, so goes the drama. And for whatever reason, coming in the international break, there was more articles about Pogba going back to Juventus, and who's floating these articles, right?
He is, dude.
It's
camp.
Like, exactly. So, like, you have this whole, like, Pogba comes back, he's, like, linked to Barcelona, then he gives him the armband, then they try to patch it up, then, we kind of beat Juventus away, that's a high, everything's good, Pogba says, Manchester United is my home, and then you go on international break, then Pogba is saying, oh, Juve, and now he might go back to Juventus. It's... We're in November. I'm exhausted doing this podcast.
The longest season, bro. Dude, this podcast is, like, killing me. It's the longest season I can ever remember, bro. We're only November 25th, and
it feels unbelievable.
Like we played 5 seasons, sir. Just so much drama in one season. we're not even at Christmas yet.
Hey, it's a third year of Jose Mourinho, so I think we kind of knew what we were in for a little bit. But, man, Pogba really kind of laid it on thick here. And I just don't see it for us this year, top four. If we beat Crystal Palace, I would have a completely different feeling about this. If we came back, we had a team performance, we dispatched them easily, I would be much more confident in us heading for top four. But when you draw Crystal Palace at home, that's just something's afoot. Something is afoot that's worse than we know, and it probably has to do with our record-breaking signing and the greatest Grinch in all Manchester, Jose Mourinho.
Perfect combo, sir. It's like a Christmas nightmare.
Christmas nightmare. Man. Well, hey, it's always possible we could turn it around. I'm just saying the trend line for me is down.
It's definitely not up.
City was bad.
That was bad.
That was bad. Last year's City, like, if you fought hard and you maybe came back and then they
got
a goal.
Last year's City where we lost was still better. When we lost at home, that was so much better of a performance.
That was bad. That was like, we went out there, they had the ball, like, they passed it 35 times, put it in the net, just like easy as you like. I mean, that was like the death of Jose Mourinho tactics right there as far as football goes. I think he's outdated. I mean, obviously everyone said it, but that was it right there. You could see it. There's nothing. Even no amount of, like, we had like 11 8-foot defenders. Jose Mourinho still get passed around by David Silva.
It was not great, sir. Not great.
All right. Our next question, our statement here from Jeff in New Jersey. Pochettino would be the perfect manager for United. EPL proven, attacking minded, drama free, and most importantly, still needs to prove himself. Hashtag hungry. Hashtag MUFC.
I like that. That's the best spin I've seen of it yet. The fact that he hasn't won a fucking thing. There is an element of optimism that I could draw from Jeff. He hasn't won anything, so he does want to prove it with United. I don't know if he's ever going to win anything with Spurs. And the cast was kind of dying in a negative sense because you're the manager of Spurs, mate. You're never going to win much. But he has played some beautiful football times. He's gotten our number a bunch of times since he's been manager.
But you,
it might
you,
be the right
you've
move,
been
sir.
Negative in the past. You've been negative
because he hasn't won anything, bro.
Yeah, but that's such a, like, you know who also says that? Steven Housen on Full Time Devils
Steven
also
Housen.
Says that.
But so, it's true.
So I look at Pochettino. They smoke Chelsea, or they smoke him. The players he's playing with are great. He's got no money, and he's a class act when he talks to him. There's no drama with him. It's all about football. It's all professional. That's what it needs to be about, right? With Mourinho, he can't separate the ego battles, and he never backs down. With him and Pogba, it's too much. It's almost like Trumpian to a certain degree, right? And for Mourinho, it has worked in the past, but with him, it's like – fighting, picking fights with these players is just hurts the team. And Pochettino would not be about that. It's about the results. It's about the football. Ferguson was, it was always that way. Maybe he distracted a little bit, you know, try to throw a bone at a few managers, create some drama, distract from the team. But man, Mourinho just makes a meal of everything. And I would really love a Pochettino at our club. I mean,
problem is that, no, I mean, Zidane would be my number one choice because I don't know if Pochettino could command the respect of Paul Pogba, right? Paul Pogba's got probably the biggest ego in Manchester. No,
he'd be gone. Well, they get rid of him. You get rid of Paul Pogba. You have to get rid of, you need to find players that can.
You think
play
the board's
going to
let
like
Pochettino
that.
Get, I don't think the board is going to let Pochettino get rid of Pogba, right? If they didn't let Mourinho get rid of him, why would they let Pochettino get rid of him?
I don't think they will, but I think that at a certain point, the team comes first and commercial revenue comes second. And obviously Pogba's, I like Paul Pogba. I want him to play well for us, but as far as.
Who doesn't?
He hasn't been worth the drama, right? If he was more professional, then his attitude on the pitch has been a problem multiple times. Have cost us big games. You know, Chelsea away last year, I can name one. You know, him and the man. It seems like him and Mourinho are just too much ego, right? Too much ego.
Yeah, and too much bad blood at this point. So someone needs to leave. Maybe if you bring in a Pochettino or a Zidane, he'll turn his ego around. But I think this is going to be a recurring problem. But the most near-term problem is that, like, the players have clearly fallen out with Jose. Just get rid of him. I know we're going to take a big bath, 20 million pound bath on that, but dude, put in Carrick and just like it can't hurt. We can't be playing worse than we're playing now. I would get into Champions League on Wednesday and can him.
Yeah, Tuesday, like start with Tuesday, a fresh slate. Yeah, no, I mean, it's the you know what's funny about the egos, right? I'm not saying not all egos in football are bad. Like Zlatan's ego is so big that he could never play the way Paul Pogba does, right? Pogba has an ego where he's more worried about his battle with Mourinho than his results on the pitch. Like, he wants to go back to Juventus and go to a team that's already stacked, so then he can go play and then win everything, right? Yep. That's what Pogba wants to do. Zlatan came into United, and he just wants to score every time. He wants to cement his legacy. He's only worried about his results on the pitch. Pogba is not motivated by that, in my opinion. He thinks he's a victim of a bad manager and a bad team and yada, yada. And that's, I think, what Mourinho's getting at with these immature players is they expect everything to be perfect for them when they got to remember at the end of the day, you're the one playing the game and you're not like, how does Pogba feel coming off in the 68th minute drawing Crystal Palace at home? He doesn't care.
If I put in that performance that he did in those first 60 minutes, I would expect to get hooked, but he doesn't, right? Like when he's getting pulled off, he didn't look that surprised, to be fair, when he got subbed out. But I think he's lost a lot of heart, man. I think he's lost, like, he doesn't want to play for this manager, and it shows.
Hey, I think Pochettino, my number one choice, and it took me a few months to get here, would be Pochettino. I waffled on that a little bit, but seeing his post-match interviews, seeing the way his team plays, I mean, they look like they're loving life. They're playing attacking, free-flowing football, the opposite of Mourinho ball. Or, you know, and he's just a class act. Drama-free. It's all about the football. So Pochettino has my vote. Is he of your vote?
I prefer Zidane, but I don't think Zidane's happening. But I would, you know, at this point, dude, the football's gotten so dire. The mood at Old Trafford has gotten so dark.
Who else, dude? Zidane is a long shot?
I like Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe would be a good choice, right? Another player, another coach who's done a lot with a little. I think Pochettino's probably the first choice, right? Because he's done at a bigger club, more pressure, etc. But Eddie Howe is also a good player. He's like, you know, he'd be like the rich man version of David Moyes. You know, like,
I like the idea of a manager who's up and coming, who's young, yep, who's hungry, yep, right? Because yep,
hungry.
They're gonna respect the club. Like, you bring in a Zidane, I'm worried, right? Because, you know, everything might not go his way. Maybe Real Madrid, it was really the players, you know, like, the whole thesis, like, Pep won at Barca because of Messi. Did Zidane win at Real Madrid because of Ronaldo and Bale and the great team? How much it was Zidane, right? So I think there's more of a higher beta with Zidane. That's why I think when you bring in, like, Eddie Howe or Pochettino, if they can make it work with Bournemouth or Tottenham on a budget, they can make it work with the United players we got, and I'd be willing to invest and give them the transfer spend. It's just, we need to be thinking long-term, proven, upcoming young managerial talent who is hungry, who can stay at United over the long term, 5 to 7 years, 10 years, because that is how we're going to come back to the top, and like I said, probably 5-7 years from now, it's going to be that next title. And boy, is that going to be a sweet one, sir. We might need to fly out to Manchester for the parade. I mean,
there you go, sir.
It's going to wait a long time for that.
One bet at a time, sir. Let's get the Fulham away, and then we'll start a new bet. How many years out until our next title? Official.
Yeah, we should do a poll. Actually, that would be a great Twitter poll. I'll tweet that out. And hey, Alex is back stateside, and we will be getting you pods on the regular. We'll be getting you a pod this week after Young Boys. We'll do our FIFA previews again. And as always, we will be talking smack about this drama filled Manchester United season and kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue.